Well, Prince William says nothing is better than listening to AC/DC's heavy rock music on his third Desert Islander style choice. Prince William chose AC/DC's Thunderstruck, saying there's nothing better than on a Monday morning when you're a bit bleary-eyed after the weekend and trying to get yourself back with the grind of the week. He said, but now when I listen to it, it's the best tonic for a Monday morning. It wakes you up, puts your week in the best mood possible, and you feel like you can take on anything and anyone. Do you agree with Prince William's sentiments, Romani, that of a Monday morning, there's nothing better than a little bit of AC/DC?
Yeah, no, not my first choice on the shuffle. No, I don't know what he gets up to of a weekend to be able to do that. But cool insight, interesting.
Yeah, quite interesting insight in Prince William, because it's something that you wouldn't perhaps think of.
Any of the royals.
Or any of the
royals. I mean, I must say, if the best thing about listening to that first thing on a Monday morning is that things could only get better from here.
is that your assessment?
It's more of a vacuuming kind of, you know, cleaning the house with gusto kind of song.
Yeah. So it's not.
I went to an AC/DC concert and all the songs sounded the same. Does that make me old?
Here I am trying to picture Phil O'Reilly at the front of an AC/DC concert. Can't do it, but there you were. What was the circumstance?
Some of the singing, of course, the band is older than me. I should just note, you know, that's the reality of it. So, I went along. Was it Wellington?
Why were you there?
I still haven't got my hearing back. Great fun.
Why were you there?
Oh, because mates took me along. I was in a corporate box, I should just say. I should note. I wasn't down in the mosh pit. I was drinking cheap beer and listening to these guys, and it was a lot of fun. I could see why they're so popular, but not my kind of music, I must say.
25-5, the panel, RNZ National. An Auckland University study just released as the first of its kind study in Aotearoa to analyse fast food combos in detail. By combos, we mean those takeaway combos sold at a cheaper price and are a common tool used by the fast food industry to increase consumption. So among the findings, fries and burgers are too salty by international standards. Many milkshakes and smoothies are sugar bombs. And half of our fast food combos are so big, they provide at least half an adult's daily energy needs in one sitting. So to discuss is Dr. Sally Mackay, Senior Lecturer in Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the University of Auckland. Dr. Mackay, kia ora.
Kia ora.
So I saw that around 20 big fast food chains were analysed, and quite interesting information here. One of the least healthy combos, which was a double burger, a dessert, fries and a sugary soft drink, included 16 teaspoons of sugar.
Yes, well, when you combine a dessert and a sugary soft drink, it quickly adds up.
Quite extraordinary information, but not really surprising, though?
Not really surprising, but I think we were a little bit surprised at how unhealthy some of those combos were, particularly when we benchmarked them against how many calories are recommended for a person per day. I mean, usually a combo is one out of three meals, so to get all your calories in one hit is pretty excessive.
Mm. And in terms of international standards, what is it like compared to, say, the UK, if I'm standing in a queue and buying a combo in the United Kingdom?
Well, we did compare it with some other studies from the UK, Australia and the US, and I think we're pretty similar to those countries as well. They also have some combos that provide a lot of energy.
Yeah. Rawani, what do you think of this?
Oh, alarming and disturbing. Like Sally said, you know, this is just one meal. You know, it's not, it has all the, you know, calories that you need. And certainly fast food chains push that whole combo mentality, don't they? Like when you go for a burger, say you just want a burger, they're always like, do you want to upscale? Do you want the combo? It's often cheaper. It often makes more economic sense to go for the combo. So all of these things, you know, and we only have to have a look at when we went into, you know, lockdown with takeaways and seen the popularity of these kinds of meals in our diet. I guess it's up to the task force now to sort of go to you know, government to have a look at this, is it, Sally? Like, I know that there was a task force that established a couple of years ago that were looking into what they could do in the food and beverage industry.
Yes, there was a fast food industry task force, and they made some recommendations to the Minister of Health at the time, but those recommendations didn't really go anywhere. Government didn't do anything with them, and we would like to see government pick that up again and make some targets for maximum portion sizes, and particularly salt as well, which was very high in some of these combos.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Phil O'Reilly.
Yes, certainly. Just as a personal story, Sally, about 5 years ago, I lost a lot of weight, like 20 kilos worth of weight. And the reason was, in my old life, there wasn't a sausage roll that I would go past. You know, I'd have one of them. And what I realized was how much sugar I was eating in food. I thought each one was quite healthy, like a can of spaghetti had like four teaspoons of sugar or something in it. It was astonishing to find this out. So it's not just the fast food, is it? It's a lot of the food that we eat has a lot of sugar that's in it, a lot of the prepared food. That's one of the things I found during my weight loss journey. What do you think the role is of educating people about this? Because everybody jumps to advertising bans, and that's all kind of interesting. But how I got through it was to be educated and to start really doing more stuff about reading labels and just understanding what was going on and why I was losing my weight battle. So what's the role of education of kids and so on and parents to make the right healthy choices here?
Well, I think education can help, but most people know that vegetables are healthy, and yet a lot of New Zealanders don't eat enough vegetables. So it's also about our food environment as well. So alongside education, things like restricting marketing to children, having taxes on sugar-sweetened beverages, that type of thing can really make a healthier food environment for people, so it's easier for them to make good choices.
Yeah. I want to bring one particular food item up, Dr. Mackay, because it's often cited as a beacon of health, but it's cited in your study as one to look for, and that is the smoothie, because it's often viewed by consumers as healthy. Tell us about the smoothie.
Yeah, so the smoothies really varied. Like, there were some that we would consider a good option, but there were some that were really large, like 600 millilitres, which, you know, is over like two standard cups. And they were really high in calories and sugar. And so two of the smoothies provided 40% of the calories that you need for a day. And that's just a drink and probably a snack. So if you're looking for smoothies, try and downsize. There'll be a lot less calories. And I think because, oh, sometimes they do have fruit in them, which is good, so you do get some vitamins there. But because it's all, you know, whizzed up, it's much easier to drink than it is to go and have that fruit as whole fruit. And I think what Phil was saying before about, you know, going back to unprocessed food is something that would be really good for your health too.
Nice to have you on. Dr. Sally Mackay there, Senior Lecturer in Epidemiology and Biostatistics at Auckland University. 18 to 5, the panel are NZ National, Rowani Pereira and Phil O'Reilly with me this afternoon. Well, Hannah McQueen has written an opinion piece about buy now, pay later. My teenage son asked me this week if he could buy a bike using a buy now, pay later BNPL scheme. I laughed and said no. Well, he asked why not. My reply was, that's the fastest way to end up poor, my boy. But buy now, pay later platforms, they've soared in popularity. Operators like Afterpay and Layby give shoppers the option of spreading the cost of a purchase out over a number of weeks. So with me is Hannah McQueen, who's a financial advisor and chartered accountant. Hannah, kia ora.
Hi.
So a big no to your own son about using buy now, pay later. What's the problem?
Well, I think that, where do I start? The problem, firstly, let's start with the teenagers, because these are the ones I think that are tempted by this, is that it's encouraging them to consume now but pay for something later, which in and of itself is a pretty dangerous precedent to have if you are trying to develop a wealth mindset. And what we know about our kids is that one of the first big decisions they make financially is whether they get a student loan or not. And that is pretty dangerous. And so we're seeing, at least overseas in the UK, that there's been 1,000% increase in 25-year-olds declaring themselves bankrupt. And the reason that they have cited is it goes back to their student loan, because they start incurring debt before the value of money is understood. And then anything in relation to that suddenly feels fairly inconsequential. So they're anchored to some pretty dangerous money beliefs. And where this comes back to with the buy now, pay now later is that we've got to be teaching our young people to be saving for what's coming up, not to be consuming, because that's the easiest thing to do is to consume. And I was concerned for my son. I'm like, oh my gosh, have I not taught you anything? But what's concerning about the buy now, pay now later scheme, which has rocketed through in the last few years, is they're now introducing this to pay for dinners out and booze budgets and things like that. It's like, no, it's one thing to pay an asset off over time, although I question whether a bike really is going to be an asset in my son's case, but to be paying something off that you consume today and it doesn't even last to tomorrow.
There's no interest charge though, Hannah. There's no interest. You can spread it out a few weeks, no interest. What's the problem?
Well, I think that the interest in and of itself isn't so much the issue. It's the behaviours, right? So financial success is 80% behaviour. And the behaviours that is encouraging is so dangerous. And you don't even have an asset. The idea of smoothing something out over a four-week period to afford something, that's good money management. But do that before you buy the asset so you can buy it outright. And I think with some of these buy now, pay now later schemes, the thing that's a concern is that they don't call it interest, but there are late fees up to 25% of the purchase price. That feels like interest to me.
That's really old-fashioned thinking, actually saving up for years to buy a bike or saving up for years to buy a stereo. Rwani, do you do that?
That's what we used to do. Well, you know, if we wanted one of those big things. And there was a real... you know, genius in that, and it makes you really want something, and it's not that quick hit that I think teaching the kids the value of money these days is such a huge thing for parents. So good on you, Hannah, for holding out like that. I cannot believe that there's buy now, pay later schemes for a meal. I mean, that's just going to... It's so dangerous. And, you know, I used to be a big fan of the lay-by back in the day, and I remember... You know, you'd work in a part-time job and you'd do maybe an extra shift because you knew how much you had to pay off, you know. And I just think now it's just fast and easy and get it in your hot little hands as quick as possible.
Okay,
and,
Phil?
I remember lay-by. I used to work, I should tell your listeners embarrassingly, I used to work for Keens for Jeans in Karanga Happy Road where there was lots of lay-bys. People would come in and pay off their stubbies. $1 a week.
Oh, yeah.
So that was very old time, old fashioned. I didn't wear stubbies myself, but you know, it was a very old fashioned time. And I must say, I do buy now, pay later for my meals. It's called a credit card. And it's similarly, of course, it's a similar issue. They're fine, but I don't have a problem with these buy now, pay later schemes, so long as it's affordable to the individual. And I think that's what's being driven home here. As a kid, I did get myself a little bit over my head occasionally through things like higher purchase schemes because I wanted the flash car and all that sort of stuff, and had to learn and dig my way out. So I think there's an awful lot to be said here for parental advice and guidance, for good teaching in schools and so on about this. I don't think the idea is wrong. I think the use of it can be wrong.
All right, fair enough. So Hannah's saying go back to the future, or just remind yourself about these buy now, pay later schemes. Hannah McQueen, kia ora, thank you very much. I'd be very interested to hear from our listeners. Do you save up before you buy something? Save up over a period of weeks or a period of months, and then you get the item? Or do you use the buy now, pay laters, or indeed credit cards? It's 12 to 5, the panel. As the year ends, many are wondering about whether to start their own business. It's an emerging trend in Aotearoa with people who are seeking more flexibility and freedom by being their own boss. We thought we might touch on this before the year's end because it is a bit of a thing that goes through many people's minds at this time of year. Chris Small is Managing Director of ABC Business Sales. Chris, kia ora.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Do you see a rise in people coming to you around this time of year saying, I want to be my own boss?
Look, we absolutely do, but I think it's also fueled by COVID as well, because I think you've probably seen many articles about the big resignation. A lot of people have had a lot of time at home away from the workplace, which has sort of triggered sort of, I think, a response where they've gone, you know what, maybe I should reassess my life. And we've seen people either changing locations, changing jobs, just wanting to make a change. I think half it's boredom, because it's not nearly as invigorating being at home by yourself. And then half of it is, you know, maybe financially driven or different circumstances. So, yeah, we're seeing a lot more what I call newbies coming to us looking to enter business ownership.
And you would tell them whether it's realistic or they're dreaming. We've got a couple of pros on here. Phil, he's a global business leader. Phil, got a response to that?
Yeah. Well, actually, I agree with Chris. This is it. It's a great idea for people if they can really get it right. I mean, I was 53 when I left my employed role, and I started a low-tech startup that was a low-growth, low-tech startup. It was great fun. 6 years on, I haven't regretted a day of it. I've loved having my own business. And there was a couple of things that I would commend, and I'm sure Chris would agree with this. Just because you think it's a good idea doesn't necessarily mean it is. And one of the best thing I ever did, two things I did that was really important to my business. One, I took a lot of advice from what people would know as a business mentor, but in my case, it was a friend of mine who would tell me the truth about whether what I was talking about was actually sustainable or not in his mind. Yeah. And the second thing I did, as soon as I started a business, I appointed myself a board. I got a board of people around me who could help me in my business. And it still sits there to this day. If you go to my website, you can see the board there. And they still help me in my business every day. Two best things I ever did. So it's a great idea, but take advice and really dig into whether or not it's best for you.
Amazing.
And summer's a great time to be doing it.
6 years on, Phil O'Reilly has started his own business, has not regretted it. Rwani, stay there, Chris. Rwani?
Well, I've been a contractor for the last 6 or 7 years and never looked back in terms of that. And no great surprise with, like you say, Chris, with the great resignation. Employees have never been so hot right now. And why not? You know, do what you work the way you want and the passions that you want to possess. But would you be, you know, realistic, Chris, that not everyone's going to make it in this?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You've got to have the right attributes. And you know, I've written a number of articles about this. I mean, the first thing you need are people skills. You've got to be good with people, because any business you're going to run is going to have, if you don't have any staff, you're going to have suppliers or customers. And if no one likes you, you're unlikely to be successful. You need drive, you need motivation, you need work ethic.
Good product.
All those sort of characteristics. Yeah, look, you know what? People skills and good work ethic can get around an average product. So I'd put them way before. I'd put them way before.
Well, that's interesting.
Because you think about it. Would you go and buy a cup of coffee of someone you really get on well with and they chat to you in the morning? Or the person down the road, maybe the coffee's slightly better, but the person doesn't talk to you, doesn't make you feel warm and receptive. You know, I think 9 times out of 10, they'll go to that person who's slightly inferior product, but a better people skills and understands business, would be my take on it.
Very interesting.
You need to be budget, financially minded. You know, you need the resilience too. You know, not everything in business, as I'm sure you on this phone call agree, always goes your way. I left the corporate world probably 5 or 6 years ago. I now own this business and I've got 90 staff. And I can tell you, I've had some sleepless nights, about various things. So it's not always, roses, but it certainly is. The rewards are certainly there if you get it right.
Okay, finally, before we go, so it's December and it might be, people might be listening to this being quite buoyed up by a new career, maybe their own business. What's one take-home message for them listening this afternoon?
I would tend to agree with what Phil just said before. If you're going to enter business ownership, get some really good people around you. And they don't have to be in the business, but get some good advisors. Whether it's your accountant, your lawyer, a good friend who's got experience in business, a mentor, some sort of governance in regards to a board or an advisory board. That's the really key thing, because it can be pretty lonely owning a business. And you always need someone to lean on or get advice. But once you get that sorted, you'll never look back. And I'm a bit like Phil and the rest of the team here. I've never looked back and absolutely love it. And the best thing is you're uncapped. You're not on a salary. Your rewards are completely uncapped, which is pretty exciting.
Good to have you on the program. That's Chris Small, Managing Director of ABC Business Sales. Let me know if you've... gone and started your own business and it's done fairly well, or the opposite, it didn't go well, why don't you give us an email, thepanel@rnz.co.nz, and we might follow up with you. To this, finally, roosters in Dunedin's residential areas may well dodge a blanket ban, as has been suggested. The Dunedin City Council's Regulatory Subcommittee has recommended a ban on keeping roosters in residential areas unless owners get written permission from the council. Now, Jadeen Washington is a member of the passionate member, might I add, of the Dunedin Poultry, Pigeon and Cage Bird Club. Passionate about birds. Jadeen, welcome to the panel.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, Jadeen. Are you happy about this blanket ban being dodged?
Yeah, I don't know. I think what we're going to have to do, I can't comment on it until we'll wait and see what's going to happen. And, hey, look, the possibility of having a total ban still there, because they still haven't confirmed totally. It'll probably be about January, February, I'm assuming, that we'll know about it. But, yeah, I hope we have dodged a bullet here, because these are heritage breeds, which I have tried to bring up with the council and the subcommittee. And some of these breeds in Dunedin, we have some breeders here who are the only breeders of the kind in the entire country, which would, if they were to not have roosters, the flow-on effects would mean the extinction of that breed in New Zealand.
What about what about people's sleep? Roosters belong in cities, Jadeen?
Well, look, here's the thing. I don't know if you... I've been around Dunedin here and there in the cities and that, and you very rarely see roosters kept. People are usually quite wise with their decisions in Dunedin, and it's a very rare occasion that you see a rooster in the city, and usually the person brings them in at night. And like I said to the subcommittee and the councillors, all of our Dunedin Poultry, Pigeon and Cage Bird Club members, they are responsible keepers, and they understand that this is a big problem. So they put their roosters inside at night.
Roosters inside at night. Apparently, rooster noise complaints are quite high in Dunedin, but someone says the poultry show in Dunedin is truly an amazing experience. Rowani, have you ever lived next door to a rooster?
No, not roosters. My dad kept some chickens for me, though, which were amazing to get fresh eggs. But no, I don't know, roosters are a little bit like early animals, I feel, and I'm not an early sort of animal. I don't put the ACDC on blast. But, Jadeen, good on you. You're only 16 and you're taking on the council and stuff like that. Do you have aspirations of one day perhaps representing yourself on a council board?
I think it'd be quite a very cool job. I do enjoy that kind of environment and that, because I find it's easier to talk about something you're passionate about too. And this, I think, most of the people who were talking at the council meeting were passionate about their roosters. And we had people that were upset. They were worried because if that ban was to be put in place, they'd have to get rid of their roosters. But, yeah.
I think you're going to go far, Jadeen. It sounds like you're the sort of person who could navigate a pathway through, don't you reckon, Phil?
That's right. I mean, I was actually interested that you came from Waldronville, Jadeen. I mean, I didn't know that place existed. I do apologise to the good residents of Waldronville, and now I see there's a beach there, so I must go and have a swim in Waldronville and check out the chooks and the roosters. It sounds fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm with Rowani on this. I live in the city. I live right in Wellington City here, and there's a lot more disagreeable stuff than roosters, I can assure you. Imagine Prince William living next door to you playing ACDC out on a Monday morning. That'd be a lot worse,
And so you've
just got to live with some of this. I think you've got to live with a bit of, live and let live stuff.
Absolutely.
I live in Mount Cook. Lots of students come there. I think just got to live it,
Yeah, well, quite interesting you say that. I live in Waterville, and only about, I would say, a maximum of about 20 metres. The beach and speedways there.
Oh, speedways, forget it. That's another topic, Jadeen. Kia ora for being with us. Rani Pereira and Philip. show this afternoon. Checkpoint next.